chapter 4, please. New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4. What's happening, y'all upstairs? Ephesians chapter 4. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for today, and we thank you for the opportunity to serve you, and we pray you bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most often criticisms or complaints against church being big is that the pastor is not accessible to everyone when they want, how they want, where they want. And whether it be me or the other pastors, but we hear that. And I want to put in perspective what our role is and what your role is. I had a lady come up to me years ago in between services. We were having services at San Diego State. We were there for 5 years, our first 5 years. We started the church 2000 to 2005. We're at San Diego State in Montezuma Hall. And we started out with three services and ended up going to five services there. And between some of the services, I was out in the lobby, and this lady came. She was complaining. She was, you know, 40s, 50s, complaining to me that I didn't care about older people her age, and all I cared about was young people, and, you know, wah, 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 wah. And I was back in my head going, yeah, well, yeah, you see why, you know what I'm saying about that? But she said, you know, you only do stuff for them. And I said, wait, no. I said, the young people that have their ministries, because they started them. So if you want a ministry for your age group, you have to start it. But I didn't start anything for them. I'm not going to start anything for you. Our job is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And so when we look around this church, around the city, and the needs, we're going to read in the Bible here in a minute that our job as a full-time staff is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. It's not where people come to church and the pastors do it for everybody else. It's really we want to help you get you equipped to the point where you can do it. And there's only so much any one person can do anyway. But I want to read this to you to put it in perspective of where your role is in helping people, even the people sitting next to you, okay? So let's read this. Chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he himself, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." Everyone say equipping. Say saints. Say work of the ministry. Now, all of you, if you have Christ as your Savior, the Bible refers to you as a saint. Now, I know in other faiths, a saint is, you know, you got to have a committee to vote and all this. You have miracles. Jesus says, when you believe in me and you walk with me, one of the ways he describes you as a saint. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean we're going to pray to you or nothing like that. It just means that you're called a saint. Okay? And so it says that our job is to equip you, motivate you, challenge you, equip you, train you, whatever, give you opportunities so you can do the work of the ministry. That's what the church is for. That's what the church is for, okay? And then it says, why? Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry." Why? "For the edifying of the body of Christ." Edify means to build up so you can be built up and the people you minister to can be built up. You are going to be built up in your faith more by you learning and doing it on your own or participating in ministry and participating in study on your own than you will by coming to church one day a week. And for all of you who come every week, and if you come every other week, then it's even worse if you don't. It's like someone going on a diet and trying to get in shape and you get a personal trainer and you work out one day a week. Okay, you can't get in shape doing that. And so what you got to do is you got to feed yourself, you got to read your Bible on your own, pray on your own, and then go help other people. Okay, are you following me? Okay, it's 7 o'clock service. Are y'all following me?
Yeah.
I'm a math guy. I love numbers, and I was doing these numbers. If one pastor, me or whoever, spent time every single day, 365 days a year, with all the people in this church, and I'm going to use the number 15,000, give or take, for the people who come in a month's time, it would take 41 years to meet with everybody. 41 years. So if I said, well, Miles, I want you to meet with me, and okay, I want you to meet, and I did it every day, 7 days a week, it would take 41 years just to get to everybody we have today, No new people. Okay? No new people. Okay? If I did it once a week, it would take 288 years. Are you following me? That's why, you know, I'm not trying to do that because I'll be dead. I'll be in my grave. Oh, how can I help you? I'll be in the grave. Okay. But listen to this stat. This is very powerful. Everybody say powerful. I'm telling you, this is going to be boom powerful. If 15,000 people reached out to one person a week and said, hey, can I pray for you? Hey, can I invite you to church? Hey, Jesus loves you. Now, let me show you a verse that will encourage you. If you did that, my wife is always like, slow down. Because I'm always like, come on. And she's like, slow down. I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing right here, okay? If everybody in this church did that one to one different person a week, that's 52 people a year. That's it. We would reach all 3 million people in San Diego. Thank you very much. hold that, because I'm getting ready. I want to release it. We're going to release it here in about a minute. Just get like this. There we go. Get like that. There we go. We would reach every person in the whole county, 3 million people, one-on-one in 3.8 years. That's it. What? Yeah. If 15,000 people did that to one person a day, which is really not that unrealistic, you'd reach 3 million people, just this church alone, 3 million people in 6.5 months. That's a bomb. Now, some of y'all are going, I'm not doing that. What's so big deal? If I'm God, I'm looking at all this firepower, and I'm like, let's go. That's how God's looking at it. He's looking at all this firepower, and he's like, let's go. That's what I'm talking about. So, we have a ministry fair. Take out your bulletin, please. Take out your bulletin. Everybody say 102. There are 102 ministries out on the street, all volunteer-led. These are not the paid staff ministries. These are all volunteers. They've been here since 6-something this morning when they set these things up, maybe even earlier. I know I met them at 7:45, and they were here long before that. 102 ministries. And what I want you to be praying about, because we have some guests that are going to be here today that are going to speak to you, I want you to be praying about, God, how do you want to use me? Are you feeling me? There is a people group, there's some group of people who are hurting in San Diego that God wants to use you to help, or you need to get help yourself so you can be equipped to help somebody. But doing nothing but listen to sermons every week or however often you can come is not an option. It's not a biblical option. It's not a biblical option. You may choose it, but it ain't a biblical option. And so what we're going to ask you to do, if you open your bulletin up, and on the right side it says outreach. Everybody see that? If you see that outreach, say amen. Amen. We're going to ask you, before you leave this street to go to your car, to fill this out and give it to one ministry. One. Uno. Everyone say uno. One ministry, and you're going to say, I am going to come to one meeting. Everyone say one meeting. In other words, you're not going to say, yeah, I think I'll come here, call me up, and never answer your phone. You're going to say, no, I'm going to go to at least one meeting one time. You could do that. One time. Is that fair to ask? I mean, you could say no. Does anybody think it's not fair? We're asking it anyway. Please. Say, I want you to pray about, Lord, who do you want me to help? What people group? Now, you may not see, well, I don't know if it's the children's ministry or the homeless or this or that. Pick something and go do something. Or start something. Something. That's a word. Okay? That's a word. So, we have some guests. We have four volunteers. We have four volunteers who run ministries here at the church, and we're going to invite them up, and they're going to talk about their ministry. And what we want you to see as you listen to them is not only what they do, but see that they're regular people like you. And God's using them in incredible ways to help people and change people's lives. You can be part of that solution for someone's life. So let's give them a big rock 7 o'clock hand. Come on up. What's up? How you doing? It's a man. How are you? Boom. What's happening, party people? This is our fifth one, last one. We met this morning at 7:30, and y'all had a good day.
Absolutely.
They've been here all day. Tommy, why don't you go ahead and tell your name and what ministry you're involved in, and if you have fans out there, they can clap for you, because he's had fans all day. Yeah. People clapping for him.
My name is Tom Hathorn. I'm with Rock Recovery.
How many of y'all have either been high, addicted, abused a drug or an alcohol in your life? And I'll be the first to raise my hand. Anybody? Look at all these drug addicts in here. That's Tommy's ministry, Rock Recovery.
I'm Perry Story. I'm with the Never Knew a Father's Love Ministry.
Amen.
My name is Dean Bishop. I'm with Pivot, the high school outreach ministry.
My name is Brent Robinson with the Rock Sports Basketball Ministry out here representing sports.
Okay, Tommy, you go first. Tell us about your journey to salvation and getting saved and how that all came about, what you used to do, and how God changed your life.
Can I first just say that this has been one of the most powerful days of my life?
Yes, you can.
It has been incredible. And this service right here has a different energy than all the others.
Okay, I got to explain something about Tommy. Tommy, you come at 8 o'clock, right?
Right.
Okay, Tommy comes to 8 o'clock service, and he sits in the same seat right there. And you know, some people listen in a very animated way. Some of y'all, because I see your faces, and you're like. And then other people, they're very stoic when they listen. They're like this. No expression. That's him. He's just like.
It's actually like this.
So anyway, is his first time. Is your first time at 7 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, it's his first time at 7 o'clock.
And you can feel it in the
air.
Yeah,
man. This is my favorite service right here. These are my peoples.
These are your people. I've heard.
That's right. The word is out.
I think 8 a.m. is better because you're fresh.
Yeah. I'm glad you think that.
It's just woke up.
It's my experiment service. See if these stories work.
All right.
By the time I come here, I know what I'm supposed to say. Yeah. Well, go ahead. How you got saved? You know, heroin, meth. You know, the drugs.
Yeah.
You're the drug guy. Remember, that's you're the drug guy.
Sober now.
Sober now, but the drug guy. Okay.
So I spent about 10 or so years on heroin and coke in the beginning, and meth at the end, the final years. And I was homeless. I lived in a stolen car on Fiesta Island right before I got clean and sober in 2004. And I got clean and sober in a 12-step, in a secular 12-step group. And in that secular 12-step group, I met somebody to mentor me.
And you were using heroin, cocaine, meth for 10 years.
Right, yeah.
10 years,
give or
okay.
Take.
Don't you look great? Don't you look? Got all his teeth? Got all his teeth?
All my teeth, yep.
For all y'all don't know what that's about, if you use meth a lot, you lose your teeth. It's called meth mouth. Matter of fact, I did a DVD, a documentary on crystal meth called Master Meth, and he was in it. And if we got in the bookstore, you could see some nasty mouths, but he got all his teeth.
Show and they
teeth.
Are real.
Look at that, little pretty boy. Look at that, go ahead.
Anyway.
That's why.
Meth literally rots your teeth right out of your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this lady right before this service was telling me how sometimes her teeth would just fall out while she was talking. Yeah. Not while she was eating. They just fall right out because of speed. But anyway, so I met somebody that I just glowed in the rooms, and he was just different.
Is that AA?
Yep. And so I went and I introduced myself to him. I asked him to mentor me. And he told me he went to church and he read his Bible every morning. And I thought to myself, I told him actually, I said, hey, sorry, I got the wrong guy. I thought that it was something else, you know, and he asked me.
What was something else that you thought it was?
I don't know, but you know, I didn't know it was going to be church, yeah. You know, and so he asked me, he said, look, let's say that three guys get clean and sober. The first guy goes to just AA. The second guy goes to just church, and the third guy goes to both. Which guy do you think has the best chance of staying sober the rest of his life? And I said, well, probably the third guy. And he said, yep. How long do you plan on staying sober? And I said, I plan on staying sober forever. And he said, all right, well, Sunday morning, I'll meet you at my house. So I came to church with him. I thought to myself, I came to the Rock on Ruffin Road.
Before we moved in this building.
Yep, about 2005. My very first time in church, I prayed with you the prayer at the end, but I chickened out coming down. And the second week I came, the Lord just pulled me up out of my chair. I came down and responded to the altar call. And shortly after that, I was serving in Rock Recovery.
Good.
Life hasn't been the same.
Jesus. Good. Yep. Perry, tell us about not having your father's love.
So my ministry, well, God's ministry through me is Never Knew a Father's Love, and maybe many of you out here impacted with the same story. I had a daddy-sized hole in my heart that only God could fill.
A daddy-sized hole. Tell us about your brother and how his void of having a father also helped you start this ministry.
So both my brother and I, we had different fathers. It was just the two of us. We were raised in a single mother home. And my brother got into all kinds of trouble with drugs. He turned to drugs early. He was in and out of prison, in and out of juvenile detention facility. My brother never worked, never had a driver's license. And then he caught a life sentence with no possibility of parole when he was 17. And now he's 41. He'll be 42.
So he's been
25 years.
Wow.
He's been in prison more than he was free.
Hmm. And so you're help. Tell us what you're doing with the. You've had hundreds of people come to your meetings. Tell us what you're doing now.
So we have support groups on Friday nights, and it's so amazing. It's so many hurting people in the church. People think because we go to church, we got it all right. But this is like a hospital. You know, we come here to get healed. Hmm. And so.
Amen. Can you read those stats and start with that number 111?
I want to say something like what Tommy said. It's so many. It's been an amazing day. You told us, you said your mind's going to get blown today, and you tell no lies. I'm telling you. I said Pastor Miles tells no lies. Well, about that, I don't. I'm just kidding. I love Pastor Miles. Okay.
I love you, but bam, I love you. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead. Just go ahead. Read the notes, okay?
Okay. The number one predictor of sexual promiscuity in girls is an absent father.
Can you read that again real slow? And I want all you guys out there to hear this. How many of you guys out there are not married? Raise your hand if you're not married. Okay. I want you to listen very closely to this because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you after she reads this.
The number one, above everything else, the number one predictor of sexual promiscuity, girls sleeping around, is an absent father.
Okay, so all you guys out there that don't have any kids, you look at women one way today. When you have a baby, and if she is a girl, you will turn into a psychopath. And you will see guys completely different. Whether your daughter becomes promiscuous is going to be very highly determined by your relationship with them. And I know when I had two girls, I mean, I always wanted girls. I always had things with girls, so I just always dated girls, and I wanted to have a little girl, okay? Just a hug, and, you know, I just wanted my little girl. And I ended up having two. And, you know, when you have a little girl, a little boy start trying to, you know, hey, all of a sudden it's like, oh, no. And they come over and say, hey, Pastor Miles, I'm passing nothing. Put your hands up on the wall, brother. Let me pat it down. What you got in your pocket? What's that right there? That's my Bible. Oh, yeah, let me see. You got drugs in your Bible? Let me see your Bible. Turn it over to that thing. You don't trust anybody with your daughter, okay? You think I'm lying? But my point is this. The number one predictor of your daughter being promiscuous is going to be your relationship with them. And God, the role of the father is critical. You got some more stats that are going to blow your mind.
65% of children in absent father homes live in poverty. That's my story. And I just want to say, I know this is a younger crowd, but if you do have children, pay child support. My father got all hung up in what my mother would do with the money, whatever. I grew up really poor, and my father had money. I didn't have to live that way. Mm-hmm. And the last one, 85% of the jail and prison population are from fatherless homes.
85%. 85% of people in prison. So why would we not want to have a kid have a dad? 85% of people in prison don't have a dad. Dean?
Well, my name is Dean Bishop again. I'm with Pivot High School Outreach Ministry. I'm a police officer with the San Diego Police Department. And specifically, I'm with the Juvenile Services Team. And I started with the Juvenile Services Team about 2 years ago. And one of my assigned high schools was Mark Twain High School up here in Linda Vista. And about that time, there was two students involved that went there, a boy and a girl. They didn't know each other. They got into an altercation on the trolley, and he ended up stabbing her, and she ended up dying. And so as I started learning more about Twain High School, I just realized that just the dynamics of that school over there. Most of the kids come from broken homes, fatherless homes. There's a lot of drugs and alcohol abuse. Just a lot of chaos in their lives, and I just started praying out to God, you know, what can I do? And Pivot came out of that.
I'll come back to you in a minute. Brent, why don't you tell us about the basketball ministry?
A little bit about me. I was not raised in the church to be in this seat. This is definitely a blessing for me to be here, and it was a long journey for me to be here. I've done everything completely wrong in my life, 24 years of my life. Was not raised in a church, never even knew a Bible, did everything completely wrong, from going out in the clubs to drinking to partying. I didn't know it was a sin because I was not raised in Denver, but I was out there always searching in these different areas for Jesus, and I finally found him, and he's moved my life, moved me into this beautiful church that we have here, and it's a Do Something Church, and I found it just on my heart because I got out there and was able to get out of the seat and just go do something in the community, and it's been such a blessing. And it was definitely an accountability for me, too, because if I was got saved and have gone to a church where I just had to sit there, I probably would have been right back out there, too, as well. So I landed to the basketball ministry. Go figure, right? the good thing about sports is a platform to get out there in the community. We use sports to be out there in the rec centers, be out there in the community, so the people that are out there that you know are not in church, if they have a common interest in football and softball and basketball, this is a good way for you to get out there and bring your friends to church and have an example and be out there, and that's been a great platform for us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. My son plays in a basketball league, I know the season's over, and I would go to the games, and, you know, here, a lot of those guys out there and girls are not only do they not go to church here, they don't go to church at all, and, you know, just by the language and all the cursing and this and that, and, you know, we got to, hey, man, chill out, but that's what we want. We want to be engaged in the community. I had a meeting 2 weeks ago with two Padre players, two Charger players, and an Oakland A's player to all go to church here, about leveraging pro athletes and then college athletes, high school athletes to go out and share the gospel to the community and somehow reach the community with the gospel through sports. And so we're looking for people who not only want to participate in the sports, but be role models and use sports to evangelize San Diego. Movie stars, athletes. I mean, sports is, as we all know, is a very powerful tool in the Lord's hand. So that's what we're looking forward to with the sports ministry, and it is unlimited. We have 30 sports ministries today.
And growing, too. So if you guys want to start a ping pong or yoga ministry, come out there. We can do it.
That's right. Whatever it is.
There's a home for everybody.
Yeah, if you want to do, like, thumb wrestling things, do start a thumb wrestling.
You know. Be the fastest growing ministry in Rock Church.
The fastest growing.
Rochambeau.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Paper, rock, scissors. Yeah, it's paper, on rock, TV scissors. Now, yeah.
Rochambeau? I never heard of
it. I don't know why.
Anybody hear Rochambeau? Paper, rock, scissors? Paper, rock, scissors? Yep. You know what? I want to have a double dutch. I want to have a double dutch tournament right here. Right here. I can do it.
How do they pray for one another in the mime ministry?
Hand signs.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was just wondering.
Before they put the mask on, they pray. Tell us what kind of volunteers you're looking for. We're getting like way off. This is why 7 o'clock is so good. We just kind of, and then always come back.
See where it goes.
Focus. What kind of people in the ministry you need?
We want to let you know that if you or someone you know or love is struggling with drugs and alcohol, with addiction, bring them to Rock Recovery or come to Rock Recovery yourself. If you are already clean and sober, we are your support group, your accountability group. And if you have a powerful testimony or a testimony at all about how God has removed you from addiction, we want to hear about your testimony.
How many of y'all know someone addicted? Very good. We have live-in facilities here at The Rock. We have two or three homes.
Three homes.
Three homes started by the people who started the ministry, female and male. If you have someone that's addicted, hey, call up Rock Recovery and see if we can help them. It's full of people who were addicted and they're not anymore. That's what God does. He delivers people. So bring them to us. Let's see if we can do it. What are you looking for? What kind of volunteers?
Well, we have twofold. We want to support people who have this issue. Maybe you growing up or have grown up without your father and you have some pain, brokenness. We want to support them. We have support groups on Friday night in room 253. And then we need mentors. My brother saw you on the Glenn Beckman show. Is that the right name?
Glenn Beck, yeah.
And Glenn Beck. And he wanted to see Pastor Miles so bad, but he's in prison in Michigan, and God did that for him. And he said he just cried seeing Pastor Miles, and he was like, that brother's anointed. And he said, what would I be? You know, he thought Pastor Miles was younger. I'm sorry again. But he thought
he thought I was like 25? 25?
No, he thought you were the same age, so he thought you was about 42.
Oh, same age as him?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he thought, and so he was just looking at you as what he could... I'm sorry. They're doing it.
don't let them instigate you. Don't let them instigate you. They'll poison you.
He thought that you guys were about the same age, and so he was just saying if I had a mentor, someone to just speak into my life. He had no positive role models at all, and that's what we need, mentors. Just care a little bit, and you can really change someone's life.
Amen.
Well, Pivot is about, it's essentially a high school youth group like you'd have here at the Rock Church, but instead of the kids coming to the church for the youth group, we're going to go out to the high schools and we're going to minister to the kids at the high schools where they're at. Most of the kids that we deal with don't go to church, and so I'm looking for volunteers who have a heart for kids, who love kids, who can deal with teenagers, don't want to kill them, and I'm just looking for people like that.
And they're already doing it. It's not like how long have you been doing it?
This is our second year.
Second year. And let me tell you something. The most influential person in a young person's life is an interested adult. We have friends, and kids have friends, and a lot of y'all are kids, right? You have friends. But when you think about your coach that believed in you, your teacher that believed in you, those are the people who are going to really influence you. Especially if they could be in your life. You can be that to someone. And you could be 22, 21, and there's somebody who's 16 who will look up to you like you are, a very important person. You remember when you were in high school, someone 21 was like a full-blown adult in their mind. They thought you were an adult. Okay, so just don't talk a lot and don't blow it. Just, For real, though. I mean, you're still a kid, but to them, you're like, man, and you can change someone's life. Easy. Basketball.
To tie in what Miles said, we mentors is key to the development and growth of sports ministries. Anybody that has any kind of knowledge of any kind of sports or knowledge in your life to mentor to these kids as they're growing up is going to be key for our success to continue to grow them as they get older. When you guys are out there and you guys are looking for the ministry, just have that tie for what God's telling you to go. And there's a home out there for you. I mean, I found basketball. There's other ministries I'm involved to, but there's a home out there for you. If there's not, we can create a ministry for you.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you. And here's my prayer is that you would find one ministry that you would sign up for. and go to one meeting at least try it out. Now I know this. Excuse me. Know there's some of you in here going,
well, he didn't teach a long Bible study. I didn't like that. They just had those people up there talking, and it wasn't really church.
We did read the Bible. You don't have to have a 40-minute sermon for it to be church. And here's what I would like you to do. If that's you. We all know that person, right? Yeah. Okay. You can read the Bible more. You could stay and read the Bible and read anything you want. You can read what I read and apply it to you. You're a saint. You're supposed to do the work of the ministry. There's an opportunity outside to do that. And so we would like you to go do that. Don't get hung up on, he's got to preach this long for it to be church. That's not really true. It's not written in the Bible. That's just what we do. But it's not, you don't have to do that. And so I want to challenge you not to let that distract you, but say, Lord, what do you want me to do now? What do you want me to do? And go pick a ministry and do something. Amen?
Amen?
Let's go help somebody. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that there are people out there who we can help. We can really make a difference in their life. And I pray we take advantage of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you move. Dean, he told a story today about a young lady who was a human trafficking, was a prostitute in high school. We are talking about life and death. There are girls 14, 15, 16 selling themselves on the street, being kidnapped and raped at 12 and 13 in San Diego. Kids killing each other. Kids having sex in elementary school. The devil is going full speed, and he don't care. He don't care. He's raping kids, molesting kids, perverting their minds, perverting their bodies, and damaging him so much at a young age that it's going to be very difficult, take a lot of work to get him back to where God wants him. But God can do it, but he's going to need people. And so I'm not just pushing youth ministry. I'm just pushing the fact that this is a life and death issue. This is not let me pick something so I can have some fun. This is about saving people's lives, literally. So I want to really encourage you to pray about, Lord, I really want to do something significant. You want to do something significant. Amen? So hopefully you find something out there. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Oh, by the way, porn debate Saturday night. Come on time early to get in.